Hi, welcome to Advocacy Media. You're watching the Journey Series podcast. This is season four. We just started a few weeks ago. My name is Mark. I'm a brown man with black glasses and bald black and white beard, and I'm wearing a black and blue striped shirt.
And you can't really say you're born in because you're growing your
Well,
hair.
they can't see them.
Anyway, sorry. So I'm Crystal, and today I'm wearing a red and a speckled black shirt, and we're in our home office. I have red and black glasses on, brown hair, brown eyes.
And today we're speaking with a guest who works in a different industry, working on cultivating smells that help make experiences more accessible for people with disabilities. Hi, Liam.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank
Should
you
I
for having me.
introduce myself?
Sure.
Yes.
Cool. So my name's Liam. I have slightly curly hair and a blue shirt and a pink neckerchief and a green room, and I'm white. So I work for Aroma Prime, which makes smells for different theme parks and museums and escape rooms and care facilities and schools and so on, anywhere. The smells, I suppose, a big focus with the smells that we work with is storytelling. So anywhere where smells can help tell a story, and particularly if people have certain disabilities that mean that they can't access or perceive certain elements of a story, maybe visually or through the audio. Or even in terms of where they're able to travel, sometimes the smells can help suggest parts of the story or even trigger certain emotions. So yeah, it was I never really planned to get into smells. I did an animation degree because I was very interested in design. And then after university, I worked in the animation industry for a while, but I wanted to delve more into experience design and attractions. So I started work at an escape room. So it was my job to design and kind of puzzles and different themed elements for the escape room so people could go in and try to get out. And I suppose there are a few accessibility considerations there because it was on the seafront, just in front of a hotel, and you had to go down some steps to get to it. So we would often have to cater for people who couldn't get down the steps, and there was a lift indoors, and they were also very small rooms, so they weren't always completely comfortable for everyone, but it was interesting and very informative to me. I could kind of learn about adapting to certain situations where there might be certain obstacles. And that was very informative for going on to become more of a designer for different attractions and not just escape rooms. So I was taken on by a design company who wanted someone to help design an escape room called for an attraction called the Bear Grylls Adventure. And then they liked my work, and I ended up doing kind of educational interactive features for castles and museums. So kind of hands-on things where you can feel things and press buttons and turn cogs to receive information in interesting ways. And then I was doing that for a while. And I'd always liked sniffing, but I wasn't a perfumer or a particular specialist when it comes to smells. But I knew that there was a company called Aroma Prime that made smells for theme parks and museums. So I wondered if I could kind of branch into that area and if it might be interesting to utilize some of my design skills in informing Aroma Prime's customers, because a lot of them were kind of the customers that I was designing experiences for were the same customers that Aroma Prime had. So I could kind of, when maybe a museum would come to Aroma Prime, when they eventually said, yes, we'll let you work for us, it was interesting to hear what the museums were thinking of and then think about my own experiences in designing for museums and how there might be certain challenges that they'd face and how the smells could kind of be applied with those things in mind. So it all kind of came together quite in an advantageous way. It all fit together like a puzzle, even though I didn't intend to go in that direction specifically from the start. And yeah, it's been very fun. There's all sorts of different projects every single day. Some of the most exciting ones are making smells for dark rides. So when you're sat in a cart and going past scenes at a theme park, so you could use smells to kind of almost like a piece of music. So you could start with a smell to lift people's spirits and start off on a positive note, and maybe trigger certain happy memories. And then you can maybe go into an area where there's no smell at all, so that the next smell has a big impact, and you could have maybe a big climactic scene in the middle where there's a big party, and you can kind of take people's emotions up and down, and then have a scary moment before the big, another uplifting smell at the end, or maybe even a horrible smell to make people run away. So there's lots of thinking that can go behind the smells, and it's always interesting to adapt and think about the psychological effects, depending on what the customer's wanting to achieve. So maybe if it's a museum, they might want to kind of create a sense of empathy for people that maybe went through some kind of struggle in the past. And so you can use a horrible smell that maybe at a theme park, that smell might make people kind of disgusted and scared, but in the context of the museum, it can make them help them understand some of the experiences that maybe people went through in the Second World War, for example. So same smells can have lots of different uses. So yeah, it's very exciting every single day.
Yeah, it's very interesting and sounds like something that can easily be overlooked as being not important by people without disabilities and misunderstood how what impact that might have for somebody who doesn't have certain senses or abilities.
I suppose in general, scent is overlooked. We often, I mean, there are researchers who kind of argue that there's this kind of bias towards vision, and we focus so much on visual storytelling and also audio. And actually, you can tell stories in quite effective ways by utilizing the different senses a lot more. Particularly smell, with how it connects to the part of our brain that processes memories and emotions.
I admire the work you're doing with that because the psychology of how different senses work to help people with disabilities, is definitely something that's extremely helpful. But it's also been a very abused thing where people take that psychology of knowing this is going to make this happen and this is going to achieve what I want commercially. Or let's talk about like stores, producing a certain smells and certain aisles and stuff like that to make you buy the products. That's a negative kind of thing, but the way you're doing it, to help people with disabilities be reminded of situations or get them in the spirit of whatever they're at or going to, it's amazing. Thank you for doing that.
That's okay. It's I a lot of the credit goes to our customers as well, and the ideas that they have. And there are some groups, like there's one called Joints, which is interested in particularly, making attractions more accessible in multi-sensory ways. And then we have another customer called Frozen Light Theatre, who does immersive theatre for people with disabilities, and it's especially catered towards them. And so smells play an important role there, and they spray them into the air and kind of make sure that the audience is engaged with that. And then we have another customer called Purple Stars, which is a group of designers who have all sorts of different disabilities, and they do museum experiences, and they kind of design them with their own experiences and perspectives in mind. So they always come out very accessible, and they're very interested in smells themselves. I can't take all the credit. It's often fun to collaborate with people and hear their own ideas and experiences and work together with them.
And it's also interesting and important to point out that when accessibility is top of mind and it's really paid attention to, then it doesn't have to be some complex thing. It is something we all have innately inside of us. And diversity and inclusion, just you don't even have to think about these things, because if you make everything accessible, everyone's going to be there and everyone's going to feel included. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you mentioned diversity there. I think smell is a nice way of making sure that you're inclusive, not just to people of all abilities, but also all backgrounds and nationalities, because we all have, just as human beings, we have very similar relationships with certain smells. Like pretty much everyone will kind of recoil at the smell of vomit, or pretty much everyone will have a positive reaction to the smell of bananas or apples, for example. So they're a pretty common kind of personal memories that we all have as humans. So yeah, smell is a nice way to kind of bring people together in that way, regardless of who they are.
We have discussed in our before that I had gone through a series of different aromatherapy things and figuring out what I reacted to best and what I worked with best, and talking with people and collaborating with people. But I mean, it's not just the smell, but the environment I needed to be in, the smell I needed to it's a everything altogether, but that is definitely one of the biggest ones, I think.
Yeah, I think it's important to think about if you're designing an experience that's going to have multi-sensory elements, it is about thinking of everything, how it all works together. Like if you're looking at something unpleasant, but you smell something traditionally pleasant, you'll probably perceive that smell as unpleasant because of the visual. And if you're looking at, or if you're hearing some lovely birds tweeting and you smell the same thing, then it might be a more pleasant smell to you. So it is important to think about all the different multi-sensory elements. And
And also, it plays an important part in memory. So if your eyes are perceiving something horrible going on, but there's a pleasant smell, when that pleasant smell comes up for you in future, you might be repulsed by it.
yeah, and that's the
It's
thing with,
interesting.
yeah, smells are like bookmarks. That's how I think of them, really. They're like sensory bookmarks. And then when that bookmark is kind of introduced to you again, you suddenly open the pages on that memory that you experienced. Yeah, and it is important to remember when attractions are applying smells, people will have their own personal memories. And even if something is a kind of a generally traditionally pleasant smell, there probably will be some people that won't like it, which is why it's good that some theme parks now have sensory guides outside the ride. So there can be like a chart, and it kind of some of them just have ratings, so they'll say how potent the smells are and how extreme other sensory elements are. And then some of them describe the specific smells. So if the guests aren't particularly, they don't have a particularly nice relationship with one particular smell or one particular sound, they can make sure they avoid that or make sure to hold their nose.
Mark and I were talking the other day about another kind of situational thing that the public needs to be aware of, and that's like the visual, how the lights are going to happen in an event, or like we were watching church. And they were doing the beginning of the opening of the music, you know, and they were doing a lot of flashing and, you know, just overdoing it. And it kind of caught me off guard because, you know, I was into the song, but it kind of ruined the moment of, anyway. There just needs to be a system in place on television, you know, that alerts people that, hey, there's stuff going on. And I mentioned to Mark about people are used to the stoplight system, you know. So what, I mean, I'm sure somebody can come up with a better system than what I'm talking about, like if there's going to be a lot of flashing lights, maybe, you know, mentioning that, or if there's a little bit of lights or a lot of lights, like don't just listen, close your eyes, don't look or whatever, you know. But it's the same concept you're speaking of, you know, where that's a written thing that helps people know that this is what you're going to experience, right? That, well, you know, why can't that happen as well?
Yeah, it's interesting to think about it in the context of television. And I suppose, you could maybe have a little section in the TV guide that has those kinds of ratings.
Well,
I
not
think
even
it's.
that, but you know, like in the top corner of shows, they used to have like PG or P or whatever. And why can't that be a little square? You know, I don't
Yeah.
think it'll be hard.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And it is, I suppose it's the people that produce these things, whether it be television or event, just kind of being more aware of it. Like I find
For
interesting
sure.
reading. Yeah, I think when I
Sure.
read sensory guides at theme parks, I it kind of opens my mind to it. And the way that they write down the specific sensory elements, it It's almost like doing a risk assessment, I suppose. Like when you're in work, at work, we risk assessment about a radiator and all the different potential hazards. And it was interesting to actually think about things. When you do stop and think about them, and particularly if it's not normally something that might be an issue for you, it's interesting to open your mind to that and kind of be more aware of it. And then hopefully it would be something that people will just naturally consider when they start preparing or planning events and broadcasts and things.
I think there's actually two levels to it. Number one, people have to be aware of it. Number two, they have to care enough to act on that awareness.
So I'm
Sorry.
sorry. So right after we had that conversation about what happened at church, he sent them an email and explained what I was trying to say, but in the next week when we watched it, it was like they, disregarded. And that's very much something we see, people that are in the able-bodied community, they kind of they don't have to deal with those issues, so they kind of disregard it. And that's very evident on a, what you do and what we see or experience ourselves, and just more and more where we can get to a place where we can normalize some of these things, because it's so ingrained into what people know. We just have to show them, well, how things are different now.
And it's feels very much it's an inconvenience for them, or we're an inconvenience for them, or something like that. When it's not thought about or done properly.
And they do talk about the inconvenience that it is, or the money that they'll have to shell out for it to happen. But in actuality, the business sense of it is you're going to draw in more people, and more people are going to spend money for your experience, for the experience that you're trying to show them. Because you're going to include more people. And that's going to be better for your business and the economy too. So I don't understand why it's not already, it's hard for people to grasp.
And I suppose from a business perspective, it makes them look more, just l makes them look better if they're including more people. Makes it seem like a more
Definitely,
pleasant
yes.
place to be.
Why it, and that's why I'm so thankful for what you're doing, because you and your team are making that happen. Inclusivity, and there's not many businesses or teams that are fully in on helping everybody experience things in different ways, because we're not a monolith. We experience things different, So go ahead.
I was just going to agree with you, really. And I suppose it's partly about people, able-bodied people, kind of being open to learning as well all the time. Like you're saying with them, writing an email to these people, and perhaps they don't have the understanding Yeah, it's a mixture, and I suppose you have to just be open to these things and open to learning, because I don't feel like I know all the kind of ins
Gross.
and outs of what people might be feeling that they need, and
Sorry, Lynn, you froze. Yeah, froze.
yeah, I noticed I froze as well. I can't, I don't feel that I always know exactly what people will be wanting and what limitations they might find that they encounter. But it's always good to kind of hear, even like talking to you two, hearing about your experiences. I think talking to people and listening to people
Exactly. Yeah.
helps you, kind of helps everyone contribute to a
Definitely.
whole overall better experience for everyone.
And that's what this whole platform is for people, for us to talk to people like you and share dialogue, share our experiences, and hoping some people or people are watching and going to be thoughtful and going forward and helping do things, for not just us, obviously, but for everybody we talk to and the disability community as a whole, going along, also, you talked about. You wrote a book. What you do and how you started out.
Yeah, I have a copy on the shelf actually. I'll see if I can. Yeah, further than I thought.
Liam, do you want to tell us a bit about the book you did?
Yeah, so I wrote a book called The Doomtown Dummies, which is for generally for children around 8 and over. And it's a book about a girl called Colette Planchette, who has a supernatural sense of smell. So she can smell ghosts, basically, and she can communicate with them through sniffing them. And she has a rather unusual adventure in a village of mannequins. And her unusual sense of smell helps her get out of some tricky situations and solve a mystery. And I kind of used a lot of the thinking from Aroma Prime in terms of how smells can help tell stories to adapt that into writing. I also made some smells that people can sniff as they're reading as well, as a kind of set that they can order if they want to help add that multi-sensory layer to it. And then I'm also, it's taking a long time, but I'm working on the audio book, so there'll be an
Oh,
audio version as well, so people can
awesome.
listen and sniff if they want to.
Interesting.
Very good.
So I'm guessing that the experience of your younger self and then writing the book played a huge part in your career.
Well, like I said, I always liked sniffing as a child. And I suppose inevitably I kind of put some of myself into the character of Colette, and her preference to sniff things a lot. And it has I suppose it's kind of, again, I didn't really set out to be a writer as much as I didn't set out to be a smell person, but I think it's just the consistency of the storytelling. I think all my jobs have had some kind of storytelling element involved, and I like to explore the different ways that can be done.
As neurodivergent people, we do a lot of adapting and, like you said, you didn't imagine you'd ever be writing a book. Well, I mean, just the life experiences creates imagination and creates An adaptable, how to do things, on a deeper level sometimes. And that's hard for people to grasp a lot of times. But at the same time, it helps the disability community thrive.
Yeah, I think that's a good feature of writing and stories is that you can kind of, I suppose on one hand you could put yourself in someone else's shoes, so it can help the writer think about other people's experiences, but maybe more importantly, it can help you help the reader enter other people's shoes. So if the writer has their own experiences that they want to share. You can kind of transport yourself into their perspective.
Yeah,
It's
and
quite.
also become more empathetic to other experiences,
Yeah, and I think empathy is the really important thing in all that we've been discussing, even when it comes to designing experiences or like these, the people that you were emailing. Like it's just about understanding other people's experiences and kind of not brushing them off or
Definitely.
yeah, not thinking they're silly or because everyone kind of experiences the world in different ways.
Here's a interesting question. So, maybe like 50, 75 years ago, when color movies were just starting to become a thing, they were experimenting with some stuff in the US anyways, around creating smells like while people watch movies. It was called Smell-O-Vision. I'm wondering, is there anything that may I have is that something you've thought about, or is there already something around that we haven't heard of that
Yeah.
you're trying to do now?
Yeah. Well, normally in my work, I kind of look at past projects like Smell-O-Vision and kind of try to learn from past mistakes and past successes. So Smell-O-Vision is generally regarded as a bit of a failure in that the smells all ended up mixing in the air and people couldn't really tell the difference between them. But I think it's still important that it happened because we could learn from that, and that now you have 4D cinemas that have kind of
And we have
ventilation
much
systems.
better technology,
Right, and
IMAX, stuff like that.
Yeah, and even the way that the smells are dispersed, so in the past normally they would diffuse them in a cinema as like a liquid vapor. But these days, a 4D cinema will normally have like dry beads that are centered, and then there'll be a fan behind it. So the beads are a bit less, they're less likely to linger the smell because it's just a dry object rather than liquid in the air, liquid particles. So, yeah.
Or I would think nowadays you could probably develop AI and use AI technology and put some sort of dispenser under every seat, so that way smells were stronger in one area and just got weaker as they
Yeah, there's lots of experimenting you can do with the potency. It's interesting you mention AI. We haven't, at least at Aroma Prime, we haven't explored AI much in terms of diffusing scents, but I suppose that might be the future of the next steps when it comes to smell technology.
There's no telling. Anything else?
So as we come to the end here, Liam, is there anything you wanted to promote or any projects that you're working on your own or with Aroma Prime?
I suppose we're always working on lots of different things at Aroma Prime. I could just mention the Doom Tandem again. and that the audiobook is coming up. It might be about a year by the time the audiobook's
Where
ready,
can
but
they find that?
the Doomtown Dummies is on Amazon, so you can just type in the Doomtown Dummies. The smells are on aromaprime.com. Although we unfortunately were a bit limited in sending to America, so
Oh, dang. Because we were talking about the one I had before. Actually, that one broke, but
Oh.
we've not got a new one, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
What would you say as far as aromatherapy goes for disability just in the household? What would you say is the most used scent to promote calmness and be able to cut down, like for me, lavender and eucalyptus is
Yeah.
mostly what I need to use.
Yeah, I was going to say lavender, and I know it's very popular in the UK. I suppose it's probably popular where you are as well, seeing as you mentioned it. But I think lavender's the first one that would come to mind.
Which one? The lavender? So
Yeah.
the second one you said?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I would have to look at our sales really to work out specifically. But yeah, I think eucalyptus sandalwood is a very popular one as a kind of
Sandalwood
yeah.
so for different disabilities, different things interact and the chemistry, works differently with smells. That just happened to be what worked for me, so it wouldn't work the same for everybody else, so I mean, there would be a whole list of different things for different, but I'm sure,
Yeah.
like right now, it's a lot of people being diagnosed or self-diagnosing with autism and ADHD. So for that, for those new people, what would you say and for them would be one of the best?
I think if someone were approaching us at Aroma Prime, my approach would be to send them some samples because you like you say it can be very personal. And even though I tend to not like even though there are popular ones like lavender and eucalyptus and sandalwood, I think I tend not to promote them too much because it can be that people might get them and then they won't have the response they were hoping for. And like during COVID, we had lots of people with autism who were buying the smells of their favorite rides, the smells that are used in their favorite rides, and that would bring them a sense of personal comfort during the challenges of COVID. So yeah, it is very personal. So it can be tricky to say for sure.
You're right. It took me a long time to find the ones that worked for me and with what we also have a progressive disability. So, our neuro and well, I also have neuropathy. So it dealt with a lot of things because if you have a headache or there's vision problems and you can't focus because and then there's neuropathy that happens because that's happening. And if you're familiar with anatomy, you kind of know that whatever's going on in your head, those nerves are going down your legs, and then that can cause a hole anyway. But so yeah, it's interesting and you have to figure out what works for you. It is personal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting you talking about the anatomy. I suppose it's a bit of a divergence from smell, but I have a condition called achalasia where my food pipe doesn't work. So the muscles that would normally push food down are just completely kind of inactive. And my nerves get confused. So I get what's called spasms, like muscle pains, and it can go all the way into my jaw. And I haven't really explored smell as a way of maybe providing relief, but maybe I ought to. I tend not to sniff things much when I'm not working because I'm so exposed to smells all day anyway.
I kind of, because of my experience with the spells and people using it negatively, to psychologically get you to buy stuff or whatever, I kind of shrugged it off. And then when I saw people trying to tell me or buy or sell me on the idea that this can also be a helpful thing, and help you in ways that you don't understand. And I kind of, it took me a while to appreciate that, but now I fully appreciate it. And I'm again, thankful for people like you and companies that do it the right way, So,
Here it's.
what we like you said, we're coming to the end of this, but how would people contact you or your team?
They can email us. The Aroma Prime website has a contact us page, or they can email info@aromaprime.com, and then I'll be happy to help. Even if they don't want to buy anything, I'll be happy to just discuss if they have any ideas they want to share or things they want to ask about.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
That's
We're
okay.
excited to be able to pass on that information and share this episode.
Cool. It's
I
been good
hope we
talking to
help.
you and
Yeah, you too.
hearing about your experiences and talking about all these other experiences. And yeah, it's insightful.
Very. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.